Too strong. Long rebound to Danny Green. Give it back to him. Step back hard and high. Arcing three. And it misses everything.
Nice job by Kate Scott the other night as the Sixers lose. And Ray, this is James Harden in the last five Sixers games, all right?
Uh-huh.
Here you go. 18 points, shot 4 of 15, 2 of 9 from three-point line. 12 points, 4 of 10, including 2 of 6 from the three-point line. 21 points, although he was 4 of 13. 2 of 7 from the three-point line. 11 points, where he was 4 of 10, including, again, 2 and 7 from the three-point line. And 13 points, this is moving backwards, 3 of 12, 1 of 4 from the three-point line. Ray, we were pretty excited when the Sixers made this trade, and I know there are people in New York and Brooklyn who kind of snickered and said, "Yeah, I don't know what you're getting there."
Could they? Yeah. Well, how's it working out for them, by the way?
Well, it's not. Well, I mean, you know, the Ben Simmons may never play. The other guys are playing fine, but yes, this could end up being something that's a bad trade for both teams. But I will tell you, I don't want to play them in the playoffs. That aside. The Sixers, well, they play today against the horrible Pacers. They play tomorrow against the Pistons. The games actually mean something. They also mean something in that the over-under for the team going into the year out of Vegas was 50.5. They currently have 49 wins with 2 to play. But Harden's awful. And he can't move late in games. I mean, he looks like he's gassed. Maybe it's, you know, the injury that he's still getting over. Maybe it's that he's cooked.
I don't think he's cooked, but I think it's a combination of the two things that you said. I think that he is hurt. You know, when he joined the team, they were talking about the hamstring that he had been kind of nursing, and that they were going to have to spot him and maybe sit him a game here or there, which they've done. But I don't think he's well. I think he's still got the hamstring. I think it's still bothering him. He's not getting very much lift on his shot. You can certainly see that. And you know, the other part of it is he's just older. You know, I mean, if you remember, we had Derek Bodner on last week. Mm-hmm. And the question I asked Derek is what we're seeing with Harden now a case of a guy who's playing through an injury, or is it a guy who's just not what he used to be? And, you know, Derek kind of said what I kind of believe, which is probably a combination of both. But the fact of the matter is, if Harden continues to play this way going into the playoffs, they're not going to go very far.
No. They're not going to go anywhere. And by the way, you better hope they don't play Toronto because we learned the other day that Thybul isn't vaccinated, which is his right. And I certainly don't want to have that debate with people again. But it doesn't help the team. And Danny Green said, I'll just quote Danny Green, "It isn't right. We're a team. We've been playing all year for this. And now you won't be able to for Toronto in the first round." And then he said, you know, I respect his right to make his decision. But it certainly, if they play Toronto, you know, he's, what, their fifth best player, you figure?
Well, he's a starter.
He's a starter. And he doesn't give you much offense, but he gives you defense. And if he's unable to play in those games, that's a problem. Ray, I'm not as confident there's going to be a Sixers parade as I was once upon a time.
Well, certainly not after the first couple of games when Harden got here. And
right.
It looked like they were just going to sail into the playoffs.
He and Embiid, pal.
And just, you know, and just blow everything, you know, just blow everything out of their path all their way to a championship. No, they don't look that way now. I mean, every so often you'll get that game, like the Carolina game or Charlotte game, like a week ago when they scored 140 points. But that's the exception. Right now this is a team that's struggling. You know, the big guy is still the big guy, and he's still doing his part. But
yeah, lobbying a little too much for MVP in my mind, but I hope he wins it.
Yeah, I don't. I honestly don't know that there's much question about it, really. I mean,
he's not going to win it.
He's not?
No.
Who?
No. Jokic's going to win it.
I don't know. I mean, if you go by the
Dr. definition. Dr. J endorsed Jokic the other day.
Yeah, which
a lot of people thought. Like,
yeah, I mean, come
you know,
on.
Disloyal to the school.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, if that's your opinion, keep it to yourself.
You're
Dr. J, for God's sakes. You're the face of the franchise.
Hey, listen, I'm mixed feelings on it because we ask guys to be honest when we ask them questions. And so somebody asked him the question and he was honest. So right? I can't really rip Doc for saying what he thought, but nonetheless, I didn't want to hear that from Doc. They have the whole commercial series where Doc is in Embiid's head, right? You've seen those commercials.
Right.
Yeah. He's in his head saying, hey, you're not the MVP.
Well, let me. What are the Sixers without him?
Oh, there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Isn't that kind of how we define an MVP?
Yeah. Listen. I'm not arguing the argument. I'm just telling you that every indication I've gotten from people who have done straw polls and voters, people who actually vote on this thing, who have expressed their opinion, is that Embiid is not going to get it. I hope he does. I don't watch the league enough that I could tell you why Jokic should win it and not Embiid or not, right? Mm-hmm. I watch the Sixers. I really don't watch the rest of the NBA very much. So
right.
I'm not, you know, a person who can give you that opinion, but I can just tell you that from what people are saying is that it ain't going to be Embiid.
Well, that surprises me because, you know, like you, I mean, I don't watch a whole lot of NBA other than the Sixers, but I do watch the Sixers. And, you know, I see the team that's on the floor every night, and all I know is if they didn't have Embiid, we wouldn't even be talking about the playoffs.
No, they'd win 25 games without him. Sure.
I mean, they'd be the Flyers and sneakers is what they'd be.
Oof. Don't want to see that.
No, nor do I.
Let's go to Joe, who's on WIP. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
All right.
We're good.
Good. So I was just calling in because you guys were talking a little earlier about, you know, what the Eagles might do with those extra draft picks that they have this year and how they're leaning towards maybe getting another wide receiver. But you guys also mentioned that, you know, you never know exactly what you're going to get when you draft. So I was thinking with DK Metcalf, you know, wanting to get out of Seattle and us wanting to give Jalen Hurts, you know, that 1 year to really prove what he's got, I think DK is a great fit. And if you're looking at a first-round pick to get him, I mean, we went with, wasn't it Rager that draft instead of getting DK Metcalf? So
No, that was our take of Whiteside.
Yeah. Oh, not any better.
No,
Rager was Jefferson. So
yeah, so, that's right.
Pick your poison.
Yeah. So,
I'd love him to get DK Metcalf. Joe, I would love him to get DK Metcalf. I don't know that the one first-round pick does it. I don't know. And the other thing you and I'm not going to speak against it, but I'm going to say that when you get a guy like that, a veteran guy like that, you're going to end up having to pay him more. One of the advantages of the draft is that the guy you get is on a first-year contract for the first 4 or 5 years, so it's cheaper. That said, would I trade one of those first two first-round picks even up for Metcalf? Yeah, I would. Ray, would you?
Yeah, I probably would, although John Schneider, the general manager in Seattle, has this chatter has been around a lot about Metcalf maybe being moved, not just to the Eagles, but to a lot of teams. And Schneider has come out and said that's not happening. We're not moving.
Well, I mean, they let Russell Wilson go, right? They let the guts of the defense go.
They are kind of in a rebuild.
Yeah.
They are kind of in a rebuild, but you know, Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson are older players. You know, DK Metcalf is not. You have to rebuild around something.
But who's their quarterback now?
Hmm?
Who's their quarterback?
Oh, is it Drew Lock?
I don't know.
Drew Lock, I think.
Oh, great. Okay. Joe, okay. I would do it. I don't anticipate it happening, but I would do it. And I also don't know if that would be enough to get him. I don't know what they would be looking for him. So I can't say. 215-592-9494. He's Ray Dinger. I'm Glenn Mack. Now, coming up, we always at 11 o'clock on Saturdays do our Scheib Sports Moment of the Week. And this is a fun one. And, Ray, it's actually an opportunity to talk hockey for 5 minutes. That's something we never get to do.
Yes, it will be fun to talk about hockey. Obviously,
hey, the Flyers have won two road games in a row. So, woohoo!
Yeah, well, we're not going
to spend
a whole lot of time talking about the here and the now. We're going to talk about back when Flyer hockey was fun.
Yeah, because it is an anniversary of something fun. 215-592-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack. Now on 94 WIP, you already know that United Tire delivers value and expertise, but now they're also delivering hope. Right now, a portion of purchases made at United Tire will help those in desperate need in Ukraine by United Way. With locations across the Delaware Valley, you can trust you're getting the best deal on the industry's most trusted tires, all while helping those displaced in Ukraine. United Tires, United for Ukraine. Remember, don't drive alone, drive United.